and learn through those and learn that it's a process for God to do even greater things in our life. Crystal and I were riding together yesterday and just out kind of piddling and just getting out a little bit, get some sunshine, and we were riding together. We were talking about how God uses things over the years, and we've reflected a lot these last 10, 12 days, how God uses things in our life to really be a blessing for us. And unless we push through, unless we're determined to push through, we can miss what God's trying to do because we don't like opposition. We don't like hardship. We don't like tough times. We want the blessing, but we don't necessarily want the work to get there. And I'm talking for all of us. Wouldn't it be nice to thank you, God, for your greatness? You're awesome. I receive all that good stuff. But, Lord, I don't want any trouble. I don't want any opposition. I don't want any of those things. It would be great. Well, Abraham had to push through. Abraham had to trust God when he didn't see God's hand at work. I love what we sang earlier. God, help me see that your hand is at work. Help me to see that you are working even when I don't realize you're working. Abraham had to learn to trust God when he didn't necessarily see the answer, didn't see the provision of God's promise. But God's plan was for Abraham to be blessed. God's plan is for you to be blessed. And it says so in Genesis 12:2. God is talking to Abraham in Genesis 12:2, where it says, as God speaks to him, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. He's talking to Abraham. And you shall be a blessing. So God had plans for greatness for Abraham. He was going to make Abraham's name great and also make Abraham a blessing to others. Obviously, God has fulfilled that. So greatness was God's plan for Abraham. Greatness is God's plan for you today. We can face opposition in life, and we can allow that to hinder us from receiving God's greatness. We can say, well, this is too difficult. I'm going to take another path to where it's not quite as difficult. Why not stay the course and watch and see what God will do? In Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, I'm going to set this up here for just a minute, and then I want to give you some things that we can learn from the life of Abraham. And I believe that we can adapt to our lives today. In verse 1 of chapter 15 of Genesis says, and these things the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. It's Abram here, but his name was changed later on. But Abraham was discouraged, and God knew that he was discouraged. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? In other words, God was making a promise to Abraham, and Abraham saying, do you realize that I'm not receiving what you're saying that I should be receiving? I go childless. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of the Damascus. In other words, God, the closest person that's like family to me is Eliezer, and he's not my son. Then Abraham said in verse 3, look, you have given me no offspring. You've not given me any children. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body. God told Abraham, he gave him a promise. The promise was there. Then he brought him outside and said, God said to Abraham, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. However many stars you see in the sky, go ahead and start counting them because that's how many descendants will be according to you. So God was showing Abraham that something great was coming. Abraham was to either trust God or doubt God. God, what you're saying is true. I'm going to receive this. Or God, I don't know why you're telling me this because I can't see this happening. So Abraham had to make a decision, much like we've got to make today. We've got to either trust God that He's going to bring the provision in our life and bless you beyond your imagination, beyond what you can comprehend, beyond what you can see or sense that He's doing, or we doubt God, and God's plan is not for me, His greatness is not for my life, and I'm just going to do things as best I can. So we have that choice today, just like Abraham. But what did Abraham do in verse 6? This is what he did. And Abraham believed in the Lord. If there's a phrase to describe Abraham, it would be Abraham trusted God. Abraham trusted God. God's asking us the same thing today. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Abraham believed in the Lord. He trusted God. Even though he saw no evidence, even though we see no evidence of the blessing of God sometimes, God, I don't know where you are, but I trust you anyway. That's what Abraham said. So the first thing I think we need to look at today out of the life of Abraham that Abraham did, number one, is to trust God's timing. Trust God's timing. Well, can't God just go ahead and do this? He's made the promise. Why can't He go ahead and do it? Well, God's got His own timing. And it doesn't ever seem to line up with mine. Never. I don't know that it's ever lined up with my timing. Why, God, why can't you get on time with me? God's saying, no, Mike, why don't you get on time with me? I'm doing something else. I'm doing something bigger than you. I'm doing something beyond what you can see. You've got to trust my timing, God says. Trust God's timing. Abraham, my word, he was already old. And so here's God making a promise. I'm going to give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. Abraham's thinking, what in the world? I'm a little past that, don't you think? Your timing is off, God. I'm sure Abraham was wondering, God, your timing is off. Where have you been these last 60 years? I should have had a child in my 30s, not in my 90s, nearly 100 years old. I like saying it like this. God doesn't need time to prepare the answer for us. God needs time to prepare us for His answer. See, all the times that I've been waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. God's saying, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. He didn't need the time to put together the answer for me. The answer was already there. He needed time to prepare me for His answer. God is doing something greater than we can see, greater than we can imagine, even in your situation. God takes His own perfect, sweet time to accomplish everything He desires to accomplish. Doesn't mean He's not working. As we can see, as we will see, God is working in Abraham's life. But Abraham had to learn to trust God's timing. We've got to learn to trust God's timing. What about this? What about that? If the timing was here now, then we wouldn't have to worry about this. So we can justify, and a lot of it makes perfect sense to us intellectually. But when God does things, He has a unique way of doing them. And He's accomplishing a lot more than what we can see. We would be better off to trust God's timing in spite of it being off of our timing. It doesn't matter. God is not going to be late. And so far, God has not been early. But God's always on time. Every time. And so the process of God's timing, God has a process. That's what growing in greatness is. That growing in greatness is trusting God's timing, knowing that He's working anyway. Now, Abraham and Sarah, they had a little issue with trusting God's timing. So think about this for a second. Sarah saying, you know what, Abraham, we're getting a little older. And I don't know that I can have children anyway. I know God has promised you that we're going to have children. Abraham probably tried to interject. No, no, no. Abraham, listen to me. Listen. As Bailey would tell me, G-Pa, are you listening? I'll say, yes, I'm listening. She said, you're not looking at me. I said, okay. I'm looking at you. So then she tells me. She said, I need to tell you something. So Sarah was telling Abraham, saying, Abraham, now God has made this promise to you, but think about it, Abraham. You're like 99 years old, and Sarah, I think, was like 89 years old at the time. Think about it, Abraham. God's made this promise to you, so probably the only way that we're going to be able to get that promise is for us to come up with a plan, and I've been thinking about this, Sarah says. I've been thinking about this. Now, bear with me, Abraham. I've been thinking, okay, I've got this young lady. She's real sweet. She's nice. She's my maidservant. And so I'm thinking that you just about 8:30 tonight, just go in there. I know it sounds wild, but at least we'll have a child. I'll be the mom. You'll be the dad. You go in, do your stuff, and then we'll have a baby, and I'll be the mom, you'll be the daddy. And then God can then fulfill his promise. And so they concocted this deal here. Sometimes we do the same thing. We put things in motion before we seek God's permission. Say, God, I'm trying to help you along here, because you don't realize that he's old and I'm done. And so we're going to have to add a little help to this. And so God, I think we'll do this. And so they proceed in coming up with this man-made plan. In Genesis chapter 16, 1 and 2, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And so she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, see, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children from her. And Abraham heeded the voice. He didn't even ask any questions. He said, okay. You know, he was, whatever you say, baby. Plan Bs are dangerous, I'll tell you that. Plan Bs are dangerous. And then out of that relationship, Ishmael was the son born out of this with Hagar. Really was a product of impatience. That's where impatience will get you. God, you made the promise. We can make this happen in just a few hours here. Impatience gets us in trouble. Ishmael turns out to be the father of the Arab nations. Impatience. You know, we have an old saying, desperate times calls for desperate measures. Desperate times calls for God measures. We need to bombard heaven. God, what is your plan in this? I don't see this happening. I don't see how it's possible. But God, I'm going to trust your timing anyway, rather than making a mess out of things. And so this decision had some life-altering responses. Even into today, 2021, there still is a residual of the decision that was made here. We've got to trust God's timing. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He knows what he's promised you, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is patient, and he wants us to be patient too. Trust God's timing. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And we don't like to talk about that. We'll try not to spend any longer on that topic. But patience is of God when we're patiently waiting on him to do his work. The second thing is that God does the impossible. God does the impossible. What Abraham and what Sarah was concerned about, that it not happening, they forgot that God does the impossible. They learned that God did the impossible. The very thing that they didn't think was possible, the very thing that we think that cannot ever happen, there's no way that could ever happen, God says, yes, I will do the impossible. It's not possible with man, But the Bible says all things are possible with God. All. A-L-L. All things are possible with God. Have you been praying a long time for something? Don't give up. Continue to pray. All things are possible with God. He does the impossible. Now, I love this. This is a revelation to me yesterday as I was praying. I had not thought about this before. I believe this is for somebody today. This was, and if you've seen this before, just bear with me. The mistake that Abraham and Sarah, as I just described, the mistake that they made that was not part of God's perfect plan, they made this decision to do this on their own, did not exempt them from God's promise. You would think, well, they've done the unpardonable sin. They've taken things in their own hands, and now God may say, you know, you did things your own way, so now you're exempt from receiving my full blessing. What they did was awful, but what they did not exempt them from receiving God's blessing. Isn't that awesome? That God does the impossible, even beyond, I mean, we know that God did the impossible, but even beyond that, God still loved them and honored them and honored his promise to them in spite of their foolishness and their human man-made concoction. Why? Because they continued to seek God. We know the story of David. We talked about David. We know the story of David and how rotten he was and the things that he did. He murdered and he saw a girl across the way and he made plans to be with her and killed her husband and done all these things. And then God goes on to say, he's a man after my own heart. How is that possible? Because God looks beyond our mistakes and sees our heart. In spite of all the things that we do wrong, he says, you know what? If you'll follow me, if you'll trust me, I will give you the promise that I've already promised you. That seems impossible to us. But God's love makes everything possible for us. No matter, that's why I said, no matter where you are today and no matter what you think you've done, the most unpardonable sin and something that is beyond repair, listen, you can never go too far for God to reach out and turn you around and say, you know what, I'm going to bless you anyway. That's how big God is. God's promise went beyond their mistake. Do you get that? Their mistake did not eliminate God's plan of greatness that God had already established. And so Abraham and Sarah didn't believe it at first. Look at what it says in Genesis 18, 10 to 14. And he said, God said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening in the tent. So I guess Abraham had God on speakerphone. He was listening to God, and somehow Sarah overheard this conversation. Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind Abraham. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, like I had already told you. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, which just went till 89 years old. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. She laughed. Why did she laugh? Because she thought, are you kidding me? I'm 89 and God still says I'm going to have a son. So she laughed within herself saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord? Behold, being also old. In other words, Abraham, he's old too. And the Lord said to Abraham in verse 13, why did Sarah laugh? God heard her laugh. Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Sarah didn't think it was possible. And look in verse 14. This is what God wants to speak to someone today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. God said, I will return to you. According to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. God's going to do what he's going to do in the appointed time. It's coming. Great things are coming for your life. When is it going to happen? At God's appointed time. But you can count on it. God will do the impossible. God's going to fulfill his promise. God will do what he said he will do. God's going to do it. Romans 4:19 through 21 says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, speaking of Abraham, already dead since he was about 100 years old at the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. That's the trust that we must have in God, is that he will do what he said he will do in the appointed time. When, Mike? In God's appointed time. But it's going to happen. Number three, God is always right. God is always right. Some of the time, no, God is right all the time. Sometimes, all the time, before and after, during, God is always right. God has every detail planned out. God is always right. Someone told me not long ago, Mike, my life seems to be in more turmoil than it's ever been in my life. How can God get the glory out of what's going on in my life? Well, listen, God is not getting glory out of the things that are going wrong in our life sometimes, but he's going to turn those things around, as it says in Romans 8:28. He will turn them around for good. But we've got to know that he's right. He's going to bring good out of that thing. How can he bring good? I don't know how, but he will. He doesn't waste anything. He takes the good, the bad, the ugly, the mistakes, the sin, the shortcomings, the overshots, the undershots, the wild shots. He takes them all and makes something great every time. He's always right. And he knows what we require to accomplish that greatness. The trust that God has in you and I to fulfill the purposes in our lives is enormous. That you were created, we were created after God's image, and that God's going to work things in your life, all those things, and he knows what's required to get us to the place that we can believe and trust him that he's going to do what he said he'd do. And so God knows where we have to. He knows the twists and turns, and there may be three or four more for you than there are for some others. But everybody has a purpose, but God deals with us in our own unique way. Isn't that neat that he knows what we need? He knows how we need to be talked to. He knows that some of us have to be woke up at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning just to get a word in edgewise. I mean, used to. It was wide open all day, every day, and I was wondering why God wasn't speaking. And he wake me up at 3 o'clock, and he said, okay, now that I've got you here, let me tell you what I wanted to tell you yesterday. So he knows just how to deal with us. He knows just how to get our attention. He knows how to get us into a corner where we have no way to look but up. We've got to trust that he's always right. When we trust God's timing, when we know and believe that he will do the impossible, we will know, oh God, you're always right. You never make a mistake. You don't have to second guess. Now, there are times when there are enemies of God. As we see in the story of Abraham, Abraham had a nephew, Lot, living in Sodom. And God had to deal with the people of Sodom. And so Abraham thought God was wrong. God, what do you mean? I've got a nephew, Lot, living in Sodom, and now you're going to take judgment against Sodom and wipe these people out. God, you can't be right. You're being mean, and you're being hot-headed. You need to step back and redo your plan, because I don't want the people in Sodom to be punished. The people in Sodom that are righteous, that love you, to be punished for the sins of those that are seeing you. So there are enemies of God, and there are times where God will deal with his enemies because they refuse to do what God says do. And even in those times, we have to trust that God is right. Have you ever been corrected? I have once or twice. So when we're correct, thank God for the correction, right? Because it brings us back into balance. And so sometimes we all have to be corrected. Well, this was a point to where this nation was against God, and God had to take action against that. My point in all this is saying in this is that we have to trust that God is right, even when he deals with things in a unique way, in his unique way. Sometimes we want to take things in our own hands and say, okay, God, let me handle this. I'll be a little easier with this than you will. And God says, take your hands off. Let me deal with this in the way that I want to deal with it. So we have to trust God that he will do things the right way in the right timing. Genesis 18, verse 23 says, Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? It's okay to question God as long as we don't allow our question to pull us away from God. Sometimes God will give us an answer. Sometimes God will show us an answer. Sometimes it takes a little while, but we will eventually see what God is doing. And so Abraham questioned God. Even Jesus, remember, Jesus questioned God. He said, my God, have you forsaken me? We can question God as long as we come back to the realization that God is always right. As long as that question doesn't pull us away from God. I know the last few days we've seen interviews of people that were interviewed from 20 years ago and the children that were born during that time that have lost parents. And then we even saw the story of a six-year-old girl that was up in the mountains and a six-year-old girl lost her life and her parents were saying, God, why have you taken my child from me? There are times that we question God, but even in those times of question, we've got to know that we've got to be close to God. That there are things that happen beyond our understanding sometimes. That even in these 20 years later, we still have questions, why did this happen? This makes no sense. Why is all this going on? We've got to know that we've got to draw close to God. Even in those times of question, we may not have the answer today. We may not have the answer in this lifetime. But we've got to know that God is always right. And verse 25 says, far be it from you to do such a thing, Abraham said to God, as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That should be our heart toward God. God, you're the judge of all the earth. You will do right. You will do right. Trusting God. Know that he's always right, even when it doesn't seem right. We know that sometimes our right seems most right. But Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We've got to trust God, even when we don't see the answer. And if we knew the answer, it probably wouldn't make sense to us anyway. We trust God. That's why God is big. That's why he knows all things. He's the past, the present, and the future. And how he keeps all of us separated and on an Excel spreadsheet and all these screens. How does he do it all? I don't know, but he does it. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he's got a plan for each one of us and wants us walking in his plan so that our lives can be great in him. And last, number four, leave the details to God. Leave all the details to God. Leave all the details to God. Abraham had to learn that, God, these details, all these things that you're doing, eventually Abraham called on, God, I can't trust you. You haven't failed yet, and everything you've done is right. It's on target. So Abraham realized that he could leave the details, all the little details, to God. Now, there was going to be a test coming up in Abraham's life. The greatest test to man, probably. The greatest test that Abraham had to face. But it's when we as men take the details upon ourselves, we'll have a tendency for it to be selfish and manipulative. You ever notice that? When man takes details and we take it out of the hands of God, it's a little bit tilted toward selfishness, self-centered, and manipulating. But when God takes the details, all of his children will benefit from it. God loves each one of us, every single one of us. And so when we leave the details to God, we can know that everything will be handled. Every detail, everything from start to finish, he'll handle every bit of it, and it'll be perfect. God is perfect in all of his ways. And so even in the details of Abraham's test that God put before him, he was called by God, the very promise given to him, which was Isaac. Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. And so Isaac was born, and here God is saying, I wanted you to take the promise that I've given you, and I want you to offer him now on the altar of sacrifice to me. So the greatest test was taking the very answer to his promise, and God said, give it to me. In Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up sacrifice, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, and whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham's trust in God's details was to the extent that even had God told him to kill, it wasn't God's plan for him to kill Isaac. Abraham didn't know that. But had God led him to take the life of Isaac, he says here that his faith and his trust in God was so great that he would have believed that God would have raised Isaac from the dead. I took his life. This was my promise. I obeyed you, God. I obeyed what you said do. And now I believe that God will raise him up. God didn't require Abraham to do that, but it was a test of the faith and trust that Abraham had in God. So it wasn't important that Abraham knew the details. What was important that Abraham trusted God that he knew all the details. So it's not important today that we know the details. It's not important today that we have all the answers. Sometimes we get so worried. We're without sleep. We can't rest. Why is all that? Why do we get to the place to where we're just so fatigued and we can't rest? And it's because we're doing more than what God's called us to do. Some things aren't your business. Some things aren't my business. Some answers aren't meant for me to know. They're meant for me to trust God that he has the answers. Well, what is my purpose? My purpose is to do what God's called me to do and to trust him with the details. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to make the decisions for God. God's not going to allocate that responsibility to me ever. He's not going to say, okay, Mike, one day you'll make decisions for me. Thank God, I don't want that job. We don't have to worry about that. God will always take care of the details. He will always make the decisions. It's my place to trust him and to do what he said do, whether I know or not. Abraham trusted God. He trusted the details, and he followed through. He didn't have the answers. He didn't know till it was over with that God wasn't going to require him to take the life of his blessing. Trust God. We've got to learn to trust God. God is always right, even when we don't understand. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. As we seek God, as we know, when it says to know his name, that means to know God, know his character, know how much he loves you. There's not a word to describe the depth and the power of God's love for you. When we get to that place that we know God, we trust God, and we seek God, we can trust him, because we've got full confidence that he's going to take care of all the details. God can handle it. God has proved himself. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. By faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which was found has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 12, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky. This is the promise, in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Just what God said. Abraham's promise was fulfilled during Abraham's life and even continues to be fulfilled today. That's the promise of God. That's how solid God's promise is for us today. To trust God's timing, know that God does the impossible, know that God is always right, and that we're to leave the details to Him. God loves you. God wants you to do great things for Him. And there's greater things to come. There's greater things to come. I believe that. That doesn't mean we won't face opposition. It doesn't mean that we won't face sickness. We won't face things that we don't like. But we can know, just as we've talked about these things today for Abraham's life, if we follow these instructions, God will fulfill His plan in your life. God will fulfill His promise in your life. Oh, come on up. God will do what He said He will do. You know, I love sitting outside. I get up early in the morning before the sun ever comes up and get some fresh air. Of course, these last few mornings in the low to mid-70s, it's been like, wow. It's been real sweet time, a real amazing time. And I was sitting out back early yesterday morning, and Crystal came after a little while, and she came and sat beside me, was having coffee, and we were talking. And about 2017, we had purchased some property here at the north end of the island, and God bless us with being able to get the land to build a house there. And me and my father-in-law, we walked the lot, and it was a mess. So we walked the lot and saw how many trees we had and all that on the lot and walked out there. That's probably the end of 2016, first part of 2017. So anyway, 2017, we were getting ready to see what we had and start clearing, and the storm came through. I forget which storm it was in 2017, but a storm came through, and we hadn't cleared the lot yet, but we were getting ready to and marking trees and all that. That storm came through in 2017, and it took more trees out. I mean, trees were on top of trees. And that, I don't remember if it was Matthew or one of the others. Anyway, it was a major storm that came, and I mean, there was debris all in this yard here at the church, and all the way down Frederica, people were evacuated. And when we finally got back home, we walked the lot, and there were trees everywhere, lying on top of each other. A ton of them were cedar trees. I mean, there was a ton of cedar trees on that lot. And I thought, God, those are beautiful trees to be down. And so we worked. 2017, got the trees out of there. They cut them up, cleaned up. Everything was getting the lot cleared out. And Good Friday of 2018, we had built the house. We moved in. I guess we moved in October 17. That's when we actually moved in. And Good Friday of 18, we were going to be here at the church on that Friday. We were at lunch. Tim and Jordan were in town, and we were having lunch, and we were getting ready to come to the church earlier that afternoon on Good Friday. And while we were at lunch, while at Nat's Landing, a storm came through. And we didn't think anything about it. It was a lot of wind and rain and stuff. And when we got home, we were pulling in. There were cars everywhere. There were trucks everywhere, chainsaws. There had been a ton of trees down. I mean, between getting into our neighborhood and even our driveway, there were a couple of trees lying across we couldn't get through. The guys were, our neighbors, great neighbors, were getting the trees cut up where we could even get to the house. And in the backyard, there were several of those nice cedar trees left. A lot of those were down. I mean, there was one in the pool. There was one across lawn chairs back there. And so there were trees down everywhere. And so we got all that cleaned up. And fast forward to yesterday, we were sitting out back and hadn't thought, like I said, we just had some sweet time to reminisce. And we're sitting out back and looked across. I think you've got a picture of that tree. We looked across out of the back and looked over and saw that big cedar tree right there. See it in the center of the screen. And that cedar tree, I don't know how old it is, but it's been there through all these storms. And all the, I mean, if that cedar tree could talk, it could preach a sermon today. But as I sat there and looked, you could see scars. You could see where the limbs, some of the limbs were ripped. Even some of the tree itself was ripped, and there's some gouges and slashes and scrapes. When you get a little closer to it, you could see a lot of the damage that tree has faced, that cedar tree. But it's strong. It's solid. It's a big tree. It's tall. You see it's green up top. It's pretty. It's healthy. As we were sitting there yesterday, we noticed that tree was leaning. And as we were sitting there looking at that tree yesterday, Crystal said, "Mike, that'll preach." I said, "Yeah, probably as early as tomorrow." And God spoke to me, and he said, "Mike, that's what I want to say through you, is that all the things that you faced in your life and the people in your church have faced, the scars, the uncomfortable times, the storms. I only know of two, maybe three major storms that tree has faced, but I guarantee you on the back of that lot, that tree has faced many more storms than three. You know what? It's still standing. It's strong. It's fruitful. It's got a little bit of a lean to it. But it's still standing. I want to tell you that today, even with your scars, even with your tough times, even in the sickness, even in the questions, even in the things that aren't just right, God says, there are great things coming. You're still standing. Yeah, you may have some scars. You may have some blemishes. There may be some places on you that you can tell that there's been a storm or two. But thank God you're still standing. And you know what? Today, the greatness that God is building you, he's building things in you to carry you through to receiving greater things in your life. There are greater things yet to come, Tommy. There are greater things yet to come, Michelle. There are greater things yet to come, Miss Bobby. Terry, there are greater things yet to come. God's not finished. God's not finished. God is not finished. And if he has to use an old cedar tree to make his point this morning, God took the time to save that tree out of all those trees that were down, had to be cleaned up and sawed up, taken off. But that one tree back there, and there's some other small shrubs back there too, but that one tree that was sticking out that should have been taken down 3-4 years ago is still standing. You're still standing. God is in you. God is leading you. You just got to trust God. You just got to trust him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Don't get impatient. Don't try to put together plans that aren't according to God's permission for your life. Be patient. Let God do what he's going to do. He said, "I've got some great things yet to come." He can't give you all the details, but it'll blow your mind. It'll scare you. He can't give you all the details. You just got to trust God. He's brought you through the storms. He's brought you through the fire. He's brought you through sad times. He's brought you through victories. But let me tell you, there's still a victory yet to be won in your life. There's still a victory to come in your life. And God is not finished. You may face some other situations. You may face some other oppositions. But you've got to trust God that he's building in you a faith and a strength and a trust that will stand through these last days that we're facing. And these aren't scary times for the church. Don't be fearful. Elder John said it perfectly last Sunday. Don't be fearful. We can face these times in joy and in peace because we know that He's got us. He's got you. He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you faith. Amen.